You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
The first week of the 2016 Major League Baseball season in the books, and on this day, Monday, the 11th of April, we're talking Cubs baseball with Kerry Muscat, MLB.com Cubs reporter. Kerry, thank you for the time, as always, and the Cubs home opener coming up tonight at 8:05. We will talk about that in just a bit, but first, I want to get your thoughts on the home run on Sunday from none other than Jake Arrieta. StatCast had that thing measured at 440 feet. It was a shot, to say the least. Now, first of all, we're not talking about a guy that's a small man here. Jake Arrieta, according to Baseball Reference, 6'4", 225. But, you know, at the same time, we rarely, whether it's fans or media, rarely associate brute strength with starting pitchers or pitchers of any form for that matter. But from what you've seen of him and being around him as you have, it looks like he can hang with any guy in that locker room, in the weight room, could he not?
Yeah, and I think anybody who actually sees him physically would not be surprised that he could hit a ball that far. Shelby Miller threw him nothing but fastballs, 8 straight, and it was a tremendous at-bat for any batter, let alone a pitcher. And he worked the count and got it to a full count. He fell behind 1-2, got it to a full count, and then launched a 92-mile-an-hour fastball to center field, left center, and it was pretty impressive poke.
Yeah, it really was, and I believe his third career home run, and it was a sight to behold. Any playful banter between himself and John Lester, who of course hit a home run during the spring, has Jake upped the ante here on Mr. Lester?
Spring training home runs don't count.
I'm sure that's what he told John. So yeah. John Lester's got his work cut out for him here in the regular season, but Jake Arrieta, that was certainly the talk of the town on Sunday, that shot against the, like you said, Shelby Miller and the Diamondbacks. Shifting gears here, Kerry, by now everybody's aware of the news, the disappointing news, to say the least, about Kyle Schwarber. Done for the season after tearing ligaments in his left knee last Thursday night in Arizona. You know, Kyle put on a very brave face, had a tremendously positive attitude in his dealings with the media and on his Twitter and so forth. Just give us your take, your personal reaction to him and your discussions with him in the days following this season-ending injury for him.
Well, I think I give Kyle a lot of credit. He said he only really felt sorry for himself for about 30 minutes, and then that was it. It was time to move on, and he's a very resilient young man, and I've also seen him work quite a bit with kids who are dealing with things that are far more severe, life-threatening illnesses, and watching how he handles those people, I think, helped him put what happened to him in perspective. And I also think that he was really encouraged because he didn't do anything wrong. He was just hustling and going after the ball. And then, unfortunately for the Cubs and for him, it landed in no man's land, and neither he nor Dexter called for it. And it, you know, the end result was a collision. I mean, Fowler was pretty banged up too. I'm surprised he kept playing. And he finally sat on Sunday just to give him a day of rest to sort of heal his hip. Because Kyle Schwarber was recruited as a linebacker by Ohio State. So you don't really want to crash into him. And I think the Cubs are feeling very fortunate that Dexter Fowler is still alive after that.
Yeah, I would say, and that's something we touched on last week too, is that Schwarber is he's a big boy, big strong boy. And for Dexter Fowler to come out of that thing relatively unscathed, the Cubs certainly dodged a bullet there. But getting back to Schwarber, you said it so well that he's a guy that, you know what, injuries happen. This is part of sports, a bad part of sports, but he's got tremendous perspective on it. In your dealings, throughout the years with the Cubs and just being around athletes in general, how much can this lift a team when you see a guy, a star player, or at least an up-and-coming star player, they have an injury like this, it's severe, it puts them out for the season, but they have such a great attitude about it that it gives the other guys a lift? You know, can we see something like that happen here with this Cubs team?
Well, I don't think they're going to be wearing patches that say win for Kyle, if that's what you mean. I mean, I think what they're going to do is just they're a team, and I think Kyle put it best when he said that his two concerns after the injury were to make sure that the team continued to win and also that he could still be a part of it. He's not going to disappear. He's going to try and do his rehab with the club. I think with the new facilities that they have here in Chicago, that that will be possible that he'll be around. It's a little tricky to get around Wrigley Field on crutches, I have to admit, but they'll find a way. But he's, the team will rally for him, but I don't, it's not as if that's going to be their purpose to win this year.
So, again, Kyle Schwarber done for 2016, but he'll still be a presence around this very talented Cubs team, off to a 5-1 start. The outfield configuration since Schwarber went down has been basically Soler and left, followed by, obviously, Fowler and Hayward, center and right. We've seen Matt Caesar get a little bit of time the last few days. Is that pretty much what we're going to see going forward here?
Well, Chris Bryant also started in right field on Sunday, and Joe Maddon has said that he might even insert Ben Zobrist into left field if necessary. He wanted to get Tommy La Stella some at-bats, and he played third base on Sunday and did very well. It came through with three hits. So they do have versatile parts, and that's going to help them. If there's any, people have asked me all offseason how the Cubs are going to do, and they said, well, they have to stay healthy. If there's any area that on the team that can absorb an injury like this, it's the outfield situation, because they are so versatile and they do have so much depth. So I can see them rotating a lot. I think it'll be an interesting combination. I'm just hoping that now that the Cubs are home for a week, that Jorge Soler can figure out a way to stay warm, because he's not real good in the cold weather.
Yeah, I think that happens to a lot of guys. They have the benefit of first being in L.A., then Arizona, and now coming home tonight to the elements in the Windy City. That's going to be a lot for Mr. Soler and some other players to deal with, but we'll see what they do. And, of course, that brings us to the topic of the home opener. The Cubs have actually lost 5 straight home openers. They want to snap that streak tonight. The game, though, I was surprised. It's an 8:05 first pitch for, you know, a franchise that for so many years was notorious about not playing at night. So here they are, their first home game of the season at 8:05. Does that feel a little bit weird or maybe not?
It feels very weird, but I also think part of it is because they were on the West Coast. So you had to accommodate that.
And that's what the Cubs are doing, is 8:05 first pitch for the 5-1 Cubs, and they will receive a hero's welcome tonight at Wrigley Field. No question there. Kerry, as we head down the home stretch here, let's kind of hand out some grades. Let's give out a Chicago Cubs report card for the first week of the 2016 season, and I'm expecting some glowing grades from you for this team, a 5-1 start, as we said. Let's start off with the starting pitching. We've seen great starts from John Lester, Jake Arrieta, and the guys in the middle of that rotation. How do you grade the starting pitching so far?
I think you'd have to give them an A right now, because every starter picked up a win with the exception of Hamill, and he posted a quality start, so you can't really knock that. It was some bullpen issues in the one loss that they had. So as of right now, I'd give them an A. I know Lackey didn't look great, but they scored, I think, 14 runs in that game against the Angels, so he was, against the D-backs, so he was able to bounce back and handle that okay.
Yeah, having that run support certainly helps when you don't have your best stuff. So an A for the starting pitching. You touched on the relief pitching, a few hiccups here and there. How do you grade them right now?
Actually, I give him a B+. The only pitcher that really stumbled was Pedro Strop, and that was just one at-bat, and it was one pitch. He had a really good outing the day before against Paul Goldschmidt and got him out, which is why they wanted the matchup again the next day. Unfortunately, Strop threw the wrong pitch, and Goldschmidt did what Goldschmidt does. So, I'd give him a beat. I mean, Rondon, the interesting thing with Rondon is he apparently has been using a changeup a little more and was very effective with that. He says everyone knows him as a fastball slider pitcher, so he's got bat in his back pocket now to sort of throw guys off, which will help him.
So some high grades for the starting pitching and relief pitching thus far. Let's transition to the offense, and I'm expecting nothing less than an A here. Agree or disagree on the offense?
Yeah, no, the offense has been good, and I think the cool thing, and something that Maddon mentioned on Sunday, was the at-bats. He called them relentless at-bats, and they've worked the count. They've gotten on base. You watch Ben Zobrist have an at-bat, and it's just not three and done. And even more encouraging on Sunday, Soler did take three pitches. There was three pitches. He struck out in his very first at-bat. later in the game, he came through with a home run, and he also hit a sac fly, and he worked the count better. So it was as if he sort of figured things out during the course of the game, which is really good. So I would give them a high grade. I'm really impressed with, you know, the fact that Dexter Fowler's come back. It's just validated his return, and I think he's leading the National League in on base percentage when I last looked, and that really helps. Once you get him going, everything's good.
Yeah, for a guy like that to set the table with the high OBP just makes that lineup go from dangerous to downright terrifying, as they've shown in these first half dozen games. All right, we've talked about the offense, Kerry. How about the defense so far?
So far, no issues. It'll be interesting to see, again, with at Wrigley Field at night with the cold weather, if there's any problems. But so far, the guys have been playing pretty tight.
So the Cubs enter their home opener on Monday night, tied with the Reds of all teams, which a lot of people didn't see coming, atop the NL Central with a mark of 5-1. And Kerry, to wrap up, your overall grade through week one of a very long baseball season. How do you grade the Cubs right now?
Well, 5-1, I don't think there's anything to be too upset. They could very easily be 6-0, you know, with the exception of that one of the one pitch that was kind of a glitch. Could easily give them an A for the way things are going right now. You know, the question is, can they maintain it? And we'll just have to see. I know one of the interesting things, if fans want to watch little things about the game, keep an eye on Jason Hayward and his base running. There's some elements of the game that are going on that are really positive that don't show up as obvious in the stats. You know, Hayward goes from first to third better than anybody. And watch that, and it sort of creates other things. Chris Bryant is a very good base runner. There's just a lot of little things going on that are really good. So I have no problem giving him an A after 1 week.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. And like you said, you can look on the stats and in the box scores and see the numbers, which by themselves are impressive. But it's those little things that don't show up in the box scores that make this team so good and so dangerous. We'll see if they keep the good times rolling tonight in their home opener at 8:05 at Wrigley Field. Kerry, thank you for the time. Enjoy the home opener. Stay warm, and we'll do it again next week for sure. Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras Chicago Cubs.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.